Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly opportunity to field your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the place to send questions. Please keep sending them through 2021. We're usually the recipients of a full mailbox of questions that fuel this podcast. You make this podcast what it is by the very fact of your participation. So please don't tell me we have a question about the vaccine. Please, please, please. No, no.
We have a question about the vaccine.
Oh, no. I got to talk about the vaccine.
And some other things.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
This is from Joe.
Wait, COVID is still a problem?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Really? I thought just people getting bored with it. No?
Yeah, I'm getting bored, certainly.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, let's talk COVID.
Joe writes, what is your take on people like Robert Kennedy Jr. that say Dr. Fauci is in cahoots with Big Pharma? And RFK Jr. post pieces with Dr. Pierre Curie that tout ivermectin as a drug that could rid the world of COVID, but would mean no money for Big Pharma. What is the truth here? We hear so many different sides of this thing, the anti-vaxxers, the pro-vaxxers. It's tough to decipher what is true and what is not. And where does Kennedy get his info from? And why don't these opposing doctors come together to debate this with their respective studies?
Well, that's a mouthful there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the answer, I think, is that we should have a certain amount of caveat emptor with the vaccine, just as we do with, you know, major consumer products.
Yeah.
So we as consumers in America, you know, we're the recipients of marvelous products, some of which are disasters and dangerous and harmful.
Right.
Many things in the food industry are. Some of the mechanical devices that we get are faulty.
Yes. Even medical devices that
And medical devices that have proven, you know, catastrophic.
Yeah.
So we should maintain that buyer beware attitude towards this vaccine, which was rushed in unprecedented time.
Yeah.
And is, you know, and there, but there's, unfortunately, there's a bias of acceptance with the vaccine, because the problem has been Israel. It's been magnified, and the vaccine appears to give us an out. So there's a natural human tendency to say, okay, this is the solution. Let's go.
Yeah.
So I think, first of all, I think the vaccine is a marvelous technological achievement.
Yes.
On a par with the Manhattan Project, which was the development of the bomb in unprecedented time. That's an example. You can read about it historically. What an amazing achievement that was, that we beat the Nazis to having the atom bomb, changing the history of the world. It was heroic and virtually miraculous.
Yeah.
We've done it with polio. Some people criticize the polio vaccine because they think there's some hidden danger to the polio. You know, but you know, by and large, that disease is not plaguing us anymore. We've triumphed to some extent over HIV. There's some really amazing progress towards keeping those people alive, not curing it, but, you know, enabling them to have relatively normal lives.
Right, right.
We can't just dismiss the pharmaceutical industry as just a profit-making industry without, you know, with just exposing Americans to danger. It's a nuanced story. Is you know, Robert Kennedy is a critic of vaccines. I don't know him that well, but he has a what he believes is a vaccine injured child, you know, a learning disabled child, and that got him interested in this subject. He's an iconoclast. He's a a little bit to the extreme in his rather conspiratorial thinking, but just, you know, there's the expression, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not after you. You know, so, you know, so I think we should listen to conspiracy theorists. And not just dismiss them because they sound like they're putting together an elaborate conspiracy. But here's what I think about, you know, Fauci. I don't think there's a conspiracy. I don't think that Fauci is sitting at a table with the pharmaceutical industry and Bill Gates saying, how can we make a lot of money? I want to make a lot of money, so let's like give people this crap vaccine and make them all take it, and we'll enrich our coffers. Ha 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 ha! You know, like that. Villains. You know, in
rubbing their hands together and salivating.
But what it is they there's just as there may be a political swamp, you know, and there's a pharmaceutical paradigm here, which is driven by monetary imperatives. And so simple solutions are less favored generally. You know,
for lack of profit.
To lack of but lack of profit, but also the way they think. I mean, I sat down with Anthony Fauci myself. In 1980 2 or 83
Oh, you were just a youngster.
Well, I was. I was early in my career, and I went down to Washington to meet with Anthony Fauci at the behest of Berkeley Bedell, who was a congressman who really believed in natural therapies and you know knew my work in, with HIV patients using intravenous vitamin C and ozone and things like that. And it was Berkeley Bedell's belief that we should fund more research into natural therapies. And he, along with Senator Harkin, because Berkeley Bedell was in the House and Harkin was in the Senate from Iowa, both of them from Iowa, they used this as an opportunity to set up the what was called the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, NCCAM, which then became the, you know, a more streamlined entity with a new name. But that was like almost 30 years ago. And so I sat with Fauci and Fauci listened to me patiently, you know, like intravenous vitamin C, ozone, and I brought patients down, you know, to demonstrate how efficacious it was. And he was polite and he listened. And he didn't fight with me or argue. And he also, it helped to have two congressmen sit, you know,
on either side of him.
On either side of him. Basically pulling his purse strings. Like, you got to do this, buddy, because we are going to vote for this. And so he listened politely, and he said, well, listen to this doctor from New York, you know, and I don't know what he really thought of me. Maybe he thought I was like total quack, or maybe he thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. And he says, well, I like to see the data. Okay, and I brought him some data, and he says, this is interesting. Let's stay in touch. Well, that was the last I heard from Anthony Fauci, because he does not look for answers in this direction. He doesn't look for answers. He's, you know, it's like looking for answers in all the wrong places.
That's not his modus operandi.
We're looking, the paradigm is high-tech medicines that are developed by major pharmaceutical companies.
A better life through chemistry.
And vaccines, which are, you know, written up in scientific journals and validated through that process. So if you see, like, some doctors saying, and we're going to have a question about ivermectin, you know, like ivermectin really works for patients we've used early. That's like guerrilla tactics. That's like using an old medication. You know, it's like this medication for river blindness, for goodness sakes. So why could it be helpful for, it's like improvisation. So he has the subsequent part of his questions about, you know, what do you think of ivermectin? I've seen some studies that show that ivermectin is maybe beneficial. But this, what drives me crazy is there are people who are like all or nothing thinkers. They think the vaccine's crap. these expensive medicines are worthless. Let's use ivermectin, mm-hmm. hydroxychloroquine, and vitamin D and zinc and C and intravenous vitamin C to treat patients. And those are like cheap, and that's going to be the end of the pandemic. I don't think it's going to be the end. Those are not magic bullets against the pandemic.
Right.
It's those people have the opposite of what Fauci has. They're looking for answers in another place, mm-hmm. with a blind spot for mm-hmm. for the high-tech advances.
Right.
So should ivermectin be studied? Yes, please study it.
Yes.
You know, it may be beneficial. I haven't prescribed it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a built-in bias against it as an old medication that's not highly targeted. It's going to probably meet the same fate as hydroxychloroquine. Well, it works a little bit. Got to give it early on. Mm-hmm. But now we have these other, mm-hmm. more powerful things.
Oh, there you go. So they're looking for the ultimate, like the Manhattan Project, a bomb.
Yeah.
They're looking for the biggest bullet.
Yes.
To hit COVID with.
Yeah, yeah.
So that could be it. So Joe, that was from Joe and from Ken, who's asking about your opinion on ivermectin.
But, it is confusing to the public because you see, on the one hand, you see the conventional press touting certain advances, and then you see sort of a guerrilla press or the underground, and it's now, they're even censored, and they have warnings that, this is not proven, on Facebook and Twitter and so on. And they're the counterculture to mm-hmm. the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And it's got to give people kind of whipsaw, or whiplash, that they don't really know who to believe and trust. And, it's an important decision, opting for a vaccine, because there may be consequences to taking the vaccine.
Right, right, right. Because of the technology of mRNA or antigenic priming.
This is the first time this type of vaccine has been given to people.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to admit that there's some potential mm-hmm. peril to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
on the other hand, this COVID thing, I mean, you could minimize it. You could say, well, it's nothing. It's like a flu. So why are we giving people an experimental vaccine for something that's really not a big deal? It is a pretty big deal. But there's plenty of people who are fine with it. But then there's some people who, die.
That's true.
So
right.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not a COVID denialist. So it's sometimes in the same camp of the people who say all these simple natural therapies, they say, well, COVID's not such a big deal anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's ideological. That's their view of it is distorted.
Right.
Then there are other people who make it such a big deal. Such a big deal. They're like,
The media?
Fearmongers. Yeah, like the media.
Yeah.
And certain politicians, frankly.
That's true, too.
Because they're on a power trip. They want to, let's declare martial law. Well, that's crazy.
Let's lock down forever.
Lock down forever. It's like...
Nobody dies.
What greater...
Of that.
What greater relevance can you have as a politician than if you think you're saving the world by making people stay home and closing everything? That's got to be a rush.
Hmm. And tyrannical.
I can barely fix my faucet, but to have the power to completely shut down a whole state, city, or nation.
Right. Oh, my.
There's talk about a cognitive bias,
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good point, which to lighten it up a little bit and share with you a vital message from one of our sponsors.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They would make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions.
Oh, we've got an article here from Susan. Susan sends us this article from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Philly cardiologist weighs in on whether fish oil can cut your heart attack risk. This is an expert opinion from a Dr. David Becker.
I think I've seen that article, but go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, it's a tale of two trials, is how he describes it.
Yeah.
The first one is the REDUCE-IT trial, which is about the fish oil drug Vascepa, where in the REDUCE-IT trial, it shows a benefit over the placebo, which is mineral oil.
Let's revisit that.
Yes.
It showed an astonishing benefit.
Yeah.
It showed like a double digit, you know, I think it was like 20, 30, 40% mm-hmm. reduction in cardiovascular events by people who took four Vascepas a day over a period of time.
Yeah.
So that became the basis for, this is like, I think Amarin Pharmaceuticals is the company. That's the basis for their application to make fish oil a cardio-preventive drug.
Yes.
Their fish oil. But their fish oil is different than the fish oil you find in health food stores because it's just EPA, and it's in the, not the triglyceride form, it's in the esterified fish oil form.
Yes.
So they say that that's the secret sauce. They've actually sent warning letters to fish oil companies because fish oil companies said, "Whoa, you know, this is a great study saying the fish oil really reduces cardiovascular disease." And they sent warning letters to those companies saying, "You can't use our intellectual property to sell your stuff. This applies only to our stuff." And I'm saying, "Hey, it's EPA.
Yeah.
EPA is EPA." But they're saying, no, it's our secret. We have our own secret sauce in this thing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to protect our intellectual property. You didn't spend millions of dollars on the study. Mm-hmm. You can't benefit from it and sell your fish oil based on that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I mean,
yeah.
I get where they're coming from a kind of a capitalistic point of view. But, you know, my take on it is that I kind of validates the use of fish oil.
Yeah. So Dr. Becker is saying because this REDUCE-IT trial, the placebo was mineral oil, mm-hmm. which is pro-inflammatory,
right.
and this may have skewed the result to show Vascepa being so superior to
mineral
placebo.
Oil is not just pro-inflammatory. It also it interferes with the absorption of fat-soluble nutrients.
Mm.
So it may be that it runs right through you. Yeah,
right.
It's like motor oil.
It's a lube job.
Yeah, it gives you a lube job. It's used as a laxative.
Right.
But it's a bad laxative because it absorbs all fat-soluble nutrients. So it absorbs vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K.
Yes.
And maybe that's why the people who took the placebo were at a disadvantage versus the people who didn't take mineral oil and took fish oil.
Right.
Fast forward to this other study.
Yes. This other study is called the STRENGTH trial, mm-hmm. which is another medical fish oil called Epinova, where the placebo was corn oil, mm-hmm. which is shown to be inert, and the STRENGTH trial had shown no benefit mm-hmm. to
well that study
compared to
that,
corn oil.
That puzzles me because corn oil, you would think, is not so good.
It's not. But it can't be as bad as mineral oil.
Right.
It's still very pro-inflammatory.
Right.
Too.
And also, it's
omega-6.
I think the way that corn oil can be harmful is not when you take it in a couple of pills, but when you just have it all through your diet in large and fry all your food in corn oil. You get a lot more corn oil from a diet that's rich in omega-6 oils, like the junk food and fried food.
Exactly.
So, you know, let's say, let's hypothesize that corn oil is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
That would also expand the benefit of the fish oil vis-a-vis the corn oil.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying, I guess, may be correct, which is the corn oil is not as bad as the mineral oil in that study.
So the doctor in the STRENGTH trial is saying to the makers of Vascepa, you need to compare it. Your placebo needs to be corn oil, not the mineral oil that you used.
Right.
For it to have a valid or reliable
right.
Conclusion.
Why did they use corn oil? I'll tell you what. They've done some studies where they've attempted to show that fish oil is superior, and they use as a placebo olive oil. And you may not see that much of a difference between olive oil and fish oil because both are beneficial.
Right.
So they said, let's be smart. Let's use corn oil, and then we'll see a real difference.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
And there you go. That's what happened.
It's a conundrum why those studies are so different. And it really took the air out of Amarin, who makes Vascepa, when there was such a negative result about fish oil. So it's, again, you got your head on the swivel. It's like, fish oil is beneficial. Fish oil is no good. It doesn't help. Oh, look, new study, fish oil, huge benefit in terms of cardiovascular. Next study, no benefit in terms of cardiovascular. I think it depends on how the study is done. And I also think the problem is that I've seen so many studies on nutrients that are like that. It's like, B vitamins, no benefit for heart disease. B vitamins, beneficial for heart disease, you know.
Right. It's all about the methodology and the dose.
And
any
the dose
vitamin
and the selection
studies
of the population.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And here's another thing. You know, I got to say, when you do these studies, you generally try to take pretty sick people. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you do a study like on people like us, you know, maybe middle-aged people, whatever, and who are pretty healthy, you're not going to see a lot of people getting heart attacks or strokes. It'd take a long time and a lot of people to get a statistical, and that's a very expensive study. You have to study like, 50,000 people, 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Put them into a study. It's very expensive to do a study with that many people. So let's take 2,000 people who really have heart disease, because their likelihood of having a heart attack or dying is very high within the next couple of years, because we can't do the study for like 20 years. Who does a study for 20 years? We got 2 years is plenty of time to study.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 years. It's hard to follow people for that long.
True.
So let's take people very sick, and then we'll give them fish oil. We're not giving them fish oil. So with the study, it may be that some of those people are so far gone, they give them a little fish oil, you know, late in the course of their disease, doesn't help anymore.
Yeah.
That's my conclusion.
Or any treatment for that matter.
But if you give like, start people, in childhood and throughout their lives, they eat plenty of oil-rich fish.
Yes.
And they have plenty of fish oil. And I've been taking fish oil, I don't know, since like my 30s, I think, that may be beneficial.
Yeah.
But how do you do a study on that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
And generally, the other thing is, people who, you could say, well, let's look at the people who, dedicated people who have been taking fish oil for the last 30 years. Well, that's no good, because those people are like very health conscious people. They're probably doing all this other good stuff. You know, they're eating healthy, they're exercising, they're not, doing unhealthy things. You could say, people take fish oil are healthier. Well, maybe people who drive Mercedes are healthier than people who drive jalopies.
Right.
Does that driving a Mercedes make you healthier?
No. It just makes you smart enough to know not to drive a jalopy, maybe.
Or rich enough to have a lot of other cushions in life.
Right.
Right. And,
don't drive that jalopy. Please don't.
And to, live in a pristine, suburban environment with clean air and, water filters on your, faucets and, organic food and shopping at Whole Foods.
Right. A whole paycheck. Well, we have a message from CW.
Okay. This is the end of your message. As the gates close for 2020.
It's a little bit of a criticism.
Okay.
I have followed Dr. Hoffman for many years, but now...
I like this one.
But now I have a comment / complaint regarding the podcasts that appear online. They are too long for the average workday for a person to listen to. Suggestion. Provide an option to read or print it online at a time convenient to the recipient. Thanks. The info is always stellar, but time constraints seem to rule.
Right. And, so I thought about this, and, we could transcribe these, but it's very expensive to transcribe. And it's also very time consuming because you can use machine transcription, but then you have to review it and correct it.
Yes.
And a machine's going to come out, even, you know, they have not perfected the technology to where it's perfect. I'm waiting for that technology that's cheap and efficient at transcribing the human voice. And then we could just roll it out, you know. But you'd still have to review it. You'd have to look at it. It's like, no, Dr. Harmon didn't say that. That's the opposite of what he said.
Right.
You know, it's like they got the word backwards, you know. And then I'd have to, a lot of time.
Yeah.
So the other thing about it is when it comes to podcast length,
we've got them in two parts. If you chop them up into two parts, they're not that long.
You can chunk them. Yeah,
25 minutes
exactly.
per part.
That was the idea of dividing them into two parts.
Yeah.
But I will say that some of the most successful podcasts are really long, and they do a very deep dive.
Yeah.
An example of which is possibly the most popular podcaster around in the health and lifestyle realm, which is Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan just got... basically bought by Spotify to be their featured. He's like chum. He like, you know, you spread chum on the water and the sharks
get all
come.
The sharks, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like the Howard Stern of Spotify. You know, Howard Stern went with Sirius and got like enormous money for that to bring people basically over to Sirius. Same thing with Joe Rogan, a very popular podcast. Very popular among young people. They love it. You know, millennials and Gen Xers. And he just goes on and on and on. And he has wonderful, relaxed conversations. That's his format.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
like
I don't
you're
know
sitting around the dinner table.
I don't know how to please all of the people. I mean, this is her her taste. And I get it that I find it difficult to listen to very long podcasts because I'm very busy. I'm a busy person. But a lot of people have... commuting time. A lot of people also have household time, you know, where they're at home and maybe they're, you know, cleaning up, making the bed, you know, doing the household chores, making breakfast, and they want to listen to something in the background other than the incessant cable news.
Yes.
Or, you know, opinion radio.
Right.
And, you know, learn something as opposed to, you know, have their opinions molded by people who are, frankly, manipulative. I mean, I get tired of the manipulation when I listen to popular networks.
Yes.
So, you know, I apologize if it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
I suggest that you take it in chunks.
Take it in chunks.
One of the things you can do is you can just say, okay, listen to, you know, 15 minutes of this. Put it on pause. You know, do something else. Come back, you know. Or just listen.
Or put it on a different device so you could pause it and then whenever you come back or... Yeah. You know, after you're doing whatever, come back and pick it up again.
Yeah.
Or something without losing the spot or bookmark it somehow, if that's
yeah,
possible.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of a there's the desire to do quick hits of things. But also, you know, people spend enormous time binge watching Netflix, you know, hour upon hour.
Yeah.
Don't know what the happy medium is, but I appreciate the, you know, constructive criticism.
Yes, CW, thank you for your suggestion.
And if you want to be a volunteer transcriber.
Yes, give us a call.
Right. Because
we don't have the manpower for that.
We'll give you a free bottle of,
olive oil.
Olive oil or, you know.
Or fish oil.
Fish oil. Bio-Omega fish oil.
Bio-Omega fish oil.
One of our sponsors will step up.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, yeah, we'll give like a gift basket of, you know.
Uh-huh. Of stuff.
Yep.
So here we are, wishing everyone a brave new year. And thank you for listening. Thank you for your questions. It's radioprogram@AOL.com.
And a heartfelt thanks to all of you who've listened in 2020. We hope you continue listening in 2021. And we wish you all the best and safety and health. And
and thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
And yes, it's been an amazing year. And we've tried to provide you with timely information, and that seems to work for some of you. Appreciate it. All the best. Signing off for 2020.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.